Welcome to Synergy Practices Podcast.
Synergy Practices Podcast. My name is RT Safari, and I'm here with Sasha Watpal. We're doing something unique today. We're visiting one of our projects in Centerville, Virginia. We are at a 3,200 square foot of a space where it was regular offices. We're going to be going in right now, and we're converting this into a dental practice. The doctor we're building for is doing his second project with us. This is going to be very similar to the first one we built for him, and we're excited to get this started. We started this about 4 days ago, Sasha. This is day four, and we're in the demo process right now.
Yep. So,
as you see, our projects, when you get started, this is how it works. We have demoed out all the walls. Right now, the crew just stopped working about 15, 20 minutes ago. And the electrician still has to come in and demo the wires and everything. The lights have been removed. The ceiling has been removed. The walls have been removed. In this project particularly, we have multiple doors and windows that you can see. One of them is up here right now as we have to disconnect it still. There is probably a good 10 to 12. We are removing, saving these doors to be reused because it's got glass and it's cost savings for the client so that we can reuse it.
Yeah, as we're going through this space, I know a ton of you have had questions for the Synergy team about demolition, what's involved with demolition. We're hoping that today's podcast will give you guys a little insight on scene. And hopefully when your contractors out there doing your demolition, you know exactly some of the jargon, what they're talking about, why certain things are. And honestly, why don't we start with the demising wall?
Yeah, let's go there. The goal is to answer a lot of questions that people have, especially when we talk about dividing the space. As you can see, when we demoed this place up, this demising wall, and what is a demising wall? A demising wall divides you or your space from the space next door or your space from the common area hallways, right? So at this point, that side is another tenant. The dentist is on this side. So this wall should be a demising wall. As you can see, when we bring the ceiling down, we have realized that this wall is not going all the way up. This needs to be a fire-rated wall. It needs to go all the way to the deck. It needs to be sealed properly. Obviously, during the space, this is not visible. Nobody knew about it. In fact, this place was under violation. So are the other tenants, as this is not a demising wall.
It's a perfect example of a potential red card. You guys all listen to me and Art's red card segments. This is a perfect example where if a contractor wasn't paying attention, luckily we caught this, we're on top of it, but if somebody wasn't paying attention, this is a change, could be a potential large change order for the client.
That's correct. And you can see, just to demonstrate on this side, this separates the hallway from the tenant space, and that's how a demising wall needs to be. It goes all the way up. However, the issues here are the penetrations for the wires and everything that's going through the wall is not completely sealed. All those areas need to be completely sealed. Moving forward, as you can see, all the fire alarms is protected by tapes so that they don't get damaged. That's very important in a demo process. Things that I have talked about previously in our segments of red card additions and things, if you look up, there are several areas where your VAV boxes are in this case, which is a type of HVAC control system. All the boxes you're seeing right here on the top with the filters, those are called VAV boxes. So the issue with the VAV boxes is, again, we've talked previously, depending on if we were dividing the space, if your ball goes right here and you're taking this side, not the other side, this VAV box would not be yours, for example. Then you might be short on HVAC sizes and things like that. In this case, the doctor is taking the entire space over here. So the problem we're going to face is where this falls in relation to their new floor plan. So if this is an operatory, this VAV box is now going to be in the operatory. So it needs to be designed and relocated. Fortunately, in this case, this is not an operatory. Our designers have looked at that previously before designing the place so that they know exactly where the ZAV boxes are placing. And this is going to be in an area where a consulting area or an office is so that there's no problem in future repairs.
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. It's future service and it tends to, whenever there's a unit, you tend to have a lower ceiling. We don't want a, like Art said, operatory, when you're going to have things in your ceiling, you're going to have equipment, dental lights, that sort of thing. You don't want a big box limiting what you can and can't do. Other thing to keep in mind, a lot of people are always asking me, what is a VAV? We are in a high-rise building. You can probably tell from the windows. Very common in a high-rise building to have a system called a VAV system. This has actually been in the previous podcast, so I want to address it, where people have said, I don't get what a VAV system is. I understand it's an air conditioner, but why don't I have thermostat control? Art, being the HVAC master, can probably explain it better than me, but...
In a VAV system, everyone is sharing the same air conditioning. These are volume damper controls. You have a switch, it is a thermostat, but you don't control the temperature necessarily. Temperature is controlled by the building, but you have it so it's zoned properly for as many zones as you would need, basically. That's what a basin VAV system, and Sasha is correct. You're usually going to see this on higher rise buildings, three stories and above, will have this type of system. We still have to, have the AC guy come in here to remove the diffusers. The ducts needs to be removed so they can be rerouted. The electricals, normally we'll keep them all light, hanging here so there's lights for the crew to work on. Our next step, probably by the end of this week, we are going to chalk it out. What is a chalk out? We chalk where the new walls are going to go, and then we walk it through so that, the client can see where the rooms are and where the operatories are, where the reception desk is. Once we do that walkthrough with them, you'll have a better understanding on real life where things are falling and how big and small they are, which is a very important part, because during the chalkthrough, if anything needs to be shifted 6 inches to the right, 1 foot to the left, that's the time to do it. Because once the walls go up, that's when you're starting to incur costs. And to backtrack will be costly.
Yeah. I want to talk about columns while we're here, Arts, because we did pass by a column.
Sure.
A good architect, a good general contractor is going to take the existing building plans coupled with their site survey to take into consideration column and column location. This is what can happen. This is a great example I just want to show, is sometimes columns are also doubled up with lines, drain lines. It can be chases, which may make columns larger than what's shown in the drawings, because the drawings will just show the actual concrete column. It's kind of hard to see, I'm sure you guys can see, but this steel here, this I-beam is what this is called, that's the actual column. Piping and all the other stuff that must remain because it's part of the building may extend that. It's just something that can pop up. I've actually had people on the podcast reach out and say, is this a contractor's fault? Is this an architect's fault? How come this wasn't caught? Buildings are old, buildings change. Not every single thing in the building is documented throughout the process. These are things that will pop up in the demolition phase, and the contractor and architect will hopefully work together to come up with a solution.
Yeah. So the existing, to continue on what Sasha said, the column is not the problem, obviously. The columns are used to build the building and they're going to stay, they're stationary. Some people ask us, can we get rid of them?
No,
the answer is it's very costly, even if you get rid of it. That's not how you do it. But he is right. It does get doubled. As you can see, the size of this, the actual column size, if you look over there on the other side of the window, you're going to see the actual column is this size, which is much smaller than the beefed up version over there because of the pipes and the doubling of the column, which shows it a lot wider. Now, in here, it's not a big problem because what we have done is we've taken the columns and we've done the drawings around the columns. So the columns are falling in between the walls or in areas where it's not majorly affecting. But there are places where when we're doing drawings and things in that nature, the columns could be in the way and you have to kind of go around it. That could potentially present a lot of challenges.
Yeah. It's just something that's definitely come up. I also want to talk, Art, you mentioned about ductwork. Earlier, Art was mentioning, this is a great example. You guys need a good look of the entire area of the ductwork. Art was saying the HVAC guy needs to come in here, remove duct, replace duct. Main duct, I don't expect you guys to be out there to be engineers and experts, but there's a term called the main duct line that will always remain. So what Art's mentioning is the main duct will always remain and it's designed around it. Usually the main duct, it's case by case, will fall in the ideally in the hallway on the space where you design the hallway, but just keep in mind the main duct going to be your largest duck, bringing everything into the supply, into the space, is going to always remain. I do, again, costly. You can remove it and adjust it, but like Art said, extremely costly.
Well, not necessarily necessary. That's the thing.
Yeah. It'd be,
in this case, we've used this window line over here to set up a rod operatory. Most of our operatories or the treatment rooms are going to be facing the window this way, completely down, and a couple of them are going to be in that corner. We are going to definitely keep following this project so that we can see the progress. We're going to see and discuss the different things that happen in the construction side throughout the project. And this should be a project that will take about 3 months to finish from the time we started, which was about 4 days ago. So we will be, you know, updating this project throughout so that we can bring, understanding to our viewers, and this way we can follow the process of a construction a lot better.
Yeah, you'll get a chance to see the actual layout. You'll get to go through what the doctor is going to go through. Let's talk floor for a second, Art. This is another thing. As you guys can see, this is a multi-story building. It's got an existing concrete slab. One of the things that's come up in the past is people saying, why isn't my floor even? Or what's going on with that? When you're demoing a space, as you guys can see, the floor isn't perfectly smooth. And it's not because we haven't, we've demoed the existing structure. What you want to do in the case like this is you're going to have to shim and basically slice and smooth out the floor. But you cannot re-pour the concrete. That's a question that I've actually gotten. Can I just pour another layer of concrete?
Well, you can, but it depends on how it's going to bound. The concrete has to bound. Most of the times, it's not necessary to re-pour it. If you do, it's a very thin layer. However, you know, what Sasha is saying is, and the floor could get, depending on what floor has been down here, that's how you're seeing the condition. For example, I can tell right now just by being here, this area probably had some vinyl flooring or some sort of a carpet flooring. You can see the lines of where the existing walls were on the flooring. However, I can tell you for a fact, this area had some tiles. This area may have been some sort of the existing lounge area or whatever it had tiles on them. And you can tell by chipping the tiles, the floor is even more rough than the smooth. So, to go back to what Sasha says, we wouldn't pour a layer of concrete here. We'll try to smooth it out, sand it down, so that when we're putting the new LVT, the new LVT will look presentable and
correct,
usable.
And you don't, and you won't have the bumps. You won't have the random deviations in elevation in the flooring. Moving on, I want to talk about exit door and entry doors while we have one here. The exit and entry doors of a building are the building's property, essentially. It's part of the demising wall. A lot of you have asked, is it possible to move a door? Short answer is yes. Short answer is yes. But when you're demoing a space, and if the building owns the space, it depends on the code, if the code will allow it, clearances, if the clearances will allow it, and the building, especially if you're in a condo association, the whole board will basically have to discuss it. But the building management company will need to approve your new door location. It's not just a simple matter of, well, there's a whole hallway here. Why can't I put a door here? There's a number of factors that affect whether or not a demising door can change. And in this case, as you guys can see, we have not demoed it. This is where the door was. This is the existing door. It will remain based on our plans where it is.
Well, room, when you're looking at door, removing the door, there's got to be room in the common area.
Then the hallway outside.
The hallway outside. In this case, there isn't in the back door. Because this side, the common area does not continue. The second thing is where you're moving the door, how is it going to look from the outside? That's where the association has to come in and, you know, basically approve it. And then obviously there's some codes and stuff that we have to follow and make sure you can remove it and put it in an area that needs to be, you know, put it. But it's a very common practice to relocate doors in the common area, so to speak, to make the floor plan work.
That's why, yeah, it's possible, but there are factors that affect it. I don't know if Art, you were going to mention it, but I wanted to mention saving materials. Another very common question I'm sure Art gets all the time, I get all the time. Do I save any money if I X save my doors? Y save my lights? Can we talk a little bit about that, Art?
Sure. I mean, the short answer is yes and no, because it all depends on the area that what you're building and what there was here. In this case, we couldn't save any rooms. because the sizes of the rooms we need are different. And we can't save any of the ceiling because it was older and things in that nature. The lights, they're not going to save because the lights are the old version. The new lights are going to look different. However, if you add new lights, you're going to save. You can do it. In this case, if we're converting office to medical, the problem comes in the wires. Most of these wires we cannot save. They have to be medical rated wires. So if they're coming into any of the clinical areas, they have to be medical rated. So most of these wires are going to go down. In this case, as I mentioned, when we first walked in, the only thing that is worthy of saving and can definitely save some cost for a client are the doors and the glass that came with the doors on their sidelines. We have designed this so that those doors can be reused and it can provide a lot of cost savings. In a situation like this, if we're talking about 10, 12 doors, including the glass, estimated value of savings is probably a good $15,000 to $17,000, $18,000 that the client is going to be saving. So those things are definitely worth it and we save. Now, if you're saving something as we are, like the doors, you have to make sure that the frames match the new wall thickness. Because if the frames don't match and you have to get rid of the frame, then saving of the door itself, you're not saving much.
And the swing of the door. The swing of the door matters. The architect, the designer needs to plan accordingly for the swing of the doors. Art mentioned something that was really good. He mentioned there are times when, yes, you can save rooms, but in this case, we didn't. We've mentioned in our podcast, it's something we preach, don't sacrifice patient flow. Theoretically, Art, it's a great question. I go with that. This is a room here. As you guys can see on the floor, there was a room here. Let's say a doctor wanted to save the room here. What is the average cost to demo these four walls, realistically? What are they saving by not demoing?
What are they saving by not demoing? The problem is, for inspection purposes, because you have to demo a lot of the room, mm-hmm. you're not saving much by not demoing, right?
Exactly.
So because you have to remove it, you got to take new wires in, you got to put medical grade wiring, those need to be checked. So the ceiling has to be moved. Part of the wall has to be moved. So you're not saving much. And then it needs to be sanded again. It needs to be mudded, sanded, painted.
Yeah.
So you're only saving the cost of the frame and the drywall at that point.
Hundreds, what would you estimate?
I mean, it's so hard to tell
you. Yeah, I get it.
To say what the savings are.
What I'm trying to drag out of him is the savings do not outweigh the sacrifice to patient flow.
That's right.
Maximizing your operatory size and maximizing your patient flow and your staff flow. We always say patient flow, but it's always to keep in mind, we don't want, number one thing is you don't want a sterilization on the other side of the office if your operatory is here. But I get it all the time when doctors are like, well, I want to save these two walls. I'm like, all right, well, now you're going to have two tiny little operatories and you're going to save,
so there's
case by case, hundreds of dollars.
Not to cut you off, but there's still reasons doctors want to save are cost related and
of course. Yeah.
The problem is, cost related, you could cut around the corners and save. The question is, in comparison to your cost savings, how is it going to turn out, right? That's where the biggest issue comes in. Time related, I will say that you're not saving much because you're still going through the same process.
And just like inspection.
And what people don't understand, the easiest thing to do, the fastest thing to do is framing. When we do this, the length of the time we're going to come and check out the progress of the project, you're going to see the frames go up probably in one day. Tops 2 days, these frames will be up. All your walls are going to be there, right? So you're not saving a lot of the time just by not reframing or not fixing anything, because the process still continues being the same, and because there's no much of a cost savings and not much of a time saving, that's where you don't want to sacrifice flow by saying, oh, this room is good enough for me. So it's cost time versus the sacrifice you're making for the next 10 years. Because as doctors, that as we know, you're going to sign this lease for 10 years plus another 10 years. So, you don't want to just, work around things that you don't need to.
Yeah, well said. And we're coming up to the end of our project here. I want to talk a little bit for you guys about what affects the cost of demolition. This is a great question I had a few months ago. And why is my office costing so much more to demo than my friend's office? Any number of questions like that. There are a ton of factors that affect the cost of a demolition. A lot of it's labor. Yeah, there's a dumpster fee. There might be trucking the load speed, but the type of the building, location of the building, in this case,
what
floor you're on, and that's a great one. You're on the seventh floor. Think of it, just think of it logically. And somebody needs to transport all, there is no, when you're doing a full building gut, you end up having these tube systems where you dump the trash out the window, but the cost of that, of removing that window and all that doesn't apply to a 2,000 or 3,000 square foot. It doesn't make sense. So what's going to happen is they're going to fill these trash cans, these large wheeled, almost wheelbarrows with trash, take them all the way down to the ground floor, take them all the way usually to the back of the parking lot, because they're not going to take prime parking spaces for a dumpster. And that's what affects the cost. Your friend who did their one-story retail space where the dumpster was right outside the back door, the labor is going to be significantly cheaper than the same square footage, the same specialty on a third or fourth floor high-rise building. So factors that affect demolition, it's not just the square footage. I know people love to think in square footage. It's just the way we like to work, but it does.
Well, I mean, multiple factors. I mean, if you're in a bank, the vault, demoing a vault could be costly. It all depends on the weight, you know, where, what you're transporting, like Sasha said, and where you're transporting it to, from what size. I mean, if we had to demo air conditionings here, the cost would be high. If we had to, you know, remove large amounts of water heaters and mechanical objects, the cost would be high. And if we don't have to remove those, obviously the cost is lower. But like you said, you know, right now we're on the third floor, on the two side of the building. So technically from one side, we're on the second floor. On the other side, we're on the third floor. So it all depends on where our dumpster is and how we're going to demo it and haul it out there.
Yeah. And to wrap up costs, we do medical and dental. All listeners out there is a vet, medical, dental. Very commonly, you're in a medical building. There are situations where there are sleep apnea clinics, sleep centers, things like that, which force us to demo weekends, nights. Any contractor that has to work outside of standard hours, there are costs associated with that too. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at spaces.
That's right. This has been the Synergy Podcast Edition. We are powered by Armico Incorporated. Thanks for listening to us. We will be following this project throughout the project for the next 3 months.
It's pretty exciting. You're going to get to see it from literal start to finish. So a lot of our future startups out there trying to get a feel for what they're going to go through. This is going to be a great opportunity for you guys. So stay tuned for future shows. Check us out on Spotify. At this point, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. And stay tuned for future podcasts where we're going to have video podcasts. You guys have been asking for it. You've been emailing about it. We hear you. We're doing it. We're going to try to make it as valuable as possible so you're not just watching Art and I bicker at a table.
And as visual as possible.
So you guys will see the actual job sites as we move forward. Thanks, guys. See you soon.